always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, no, I mean, so the reason I was like, I don't know about that is that I agree, like, you're right in terms of, Rui's release being slow. And I'm actually glad you have a comment here. It says, am I the only one that has watched?
Yeah, I was just going to pull that up. Yeah.
If he's missing, he
does lose confidence quickly.
And so that was the thing I was going to say. Like, we saw that possession. It was a big possession, too. Where, like, his minutes yesterday, again, rotation was weird. He didn't play, like, very few minutes. I think he got to, like, 8 or 9, maybe. But he had that one possession where if he was in the left corner, far side. So, I guess it was in front of the Spurs bench. Left corner or left side. Had a pretty open – a decent look at a shot. Passed it up. Drove into the paint. Got stopped. Tried to do the spin. Passed out. Turnover.
Yeah. I think – Redick pulled him right after
that. Yeah, I think not. And then JJ was, I mean, not the, I'll say JJ's not the shyest guy when it comes to when he's angry. So you can tell he was very frustrated with the decision making or what was going on that on the floor at that point. His release may be faster, but he can get a little gun shy. The thing about Rui is that Rui's going to get him up. He's going to get him up. And, like, yes, he has a slow release, so it may be. You know, it may take him a minute to get it off, but if it's open, he'll shoot it. Like, that's the thing about Rui, but like it or dislike it. If he's open, he will shoot. Or if they close out fast enough, he'll get into that 1-2 dribble pull up, get into the post. Like, he's a more willing scorer.
Yeah.
He has a more of a scorer's mentality, whether that's shooting, pull up, post up. Like, he has more of a scorer's mentality. Even if it's not one-on-one scoring. Like, that's more of it reflects in shooting. He may have the smoothest shot, but that's when you were saying that, I was like, I don't know about that. Cause, like, Jake does get a little, like, if it's not falling, you get nice, like last night. Granted, he only played 8-9 minutes where he's taking
one. He only played the 8-9 minutes because he got gun shy.
Yeah. Exactly. It plays hand in hand. But even like previous nights, like when they played Phoenix, start of the month, like he takes a three. Like, he's not attempt – like, his attempts have been – like, he's gone games, like, without shot, like, shooting. Like, yeah. He went that Dallas game – again, his minutes have also been going down, but he went that entire Dallas game without shooting, period. So
– yeah.
And that's, like – and that was something we talked about with – I remember talking about by Jake at one point. It's, like, confident – like, he having to have more of a scorer's mentality. Again, he's still a young player. I do agree with you that, like, he does bring just – more defensive tenacity, defensive playmaking, aggression than Rui does, like, pretty easily. But him and, I mean, you would lose to me a little bit offensive firepower if you replace Jake with Rui or replace Rui with Jake, but you would get an uptick, at least to me, in terms of just defensive intensity,
yeah,
aggression.
Say, yeah.
It's a trade-off. I don't think, like, there are degrees. Like, I think if Rui's like, I don't know, like, what's the one I'm looking for? Like, oh, like, he's 80, like, this isn't, I'm not using
he's
this as
8
like,
out of 10.
Yeah, if he's like an 8 out of 10 out of offensively, but then, like, whatever, out of 10 defensively, like, Jake's probably like a step below 2 offensively, but like a step or 2 higher defensively, like, in terms of like searching for a true 2-way. And then you have, like, obviously, like, Vando on the opposite end where he's like a lot more defensively. A little offensively. Yeah. So, like, there are degrees. Like, maybe, like, you want to go, like, Rui in terms of the bench guys, like, maybe, like, past Rui, it'd be like Jake, Gabe, I guess, Marcus, like, somewhere in that, if you're looking for a replacement for Rui.
If it's Gabe, I don't know if I'll be able to watch that. That, like, I'm going to be completely honest. I wouldn't handle that very well, but it wouldn't actually surprise me all that much either, right? Like, JJ Redick really likes Gabe Vincent, and the organization really likes Gabe Vincent. That's actually going to factor into the trade conversation too.
And there's one more thing I meant to say about Rui is that his shot making or not shot making, his shot is like him shooting. To me, that's more of a reflection of the offense. It's less a reflection of actually him as a player. Because again, when Rui's open, he will shoot. Yeah. He will shoot. So like, and we saw that in Philly. In the pick and roll, like Luka had those couple cross court passes. Like those are Rui shots. He's getting his shots are coming from like very similar spot. Like it's not a whole lot of diversification in terms of how he's getting his shots. But like we saw coincidentally, and JJ brought this up last night. The Spurs defended the Lakers in a similar way as Phoenix did.
Yeah.
Where the big man's not like we're gonna have him in a drop. Like it's basically gonna keep this pick and roll 2-on-2. We're not bringing in low man help. Well, who's typically the low man help? That's Rui. They're not helping off of Rui. So Rui's not going to get open for those shots. I think teams are just like daring Luka and Austin, whoever, like take those twos, take those non-paint twos. We have our big man here, whether it's Mark Williams with Phoenix, whether it's Luke Kornet with the Spurs. We have our big man, shoot over the top. We're not going to give you these easy kick out threes.
Yeah, especially if they have the athletes to apply back pressure to that makes those mid-range twos the more complicated. Which, by the way, that's the type of defense they're probably going to see in the playoffs. Like this is the thing, is that like all of these adjustments and approaches and player archetypes that are giving the Lakers problems, it's not like you're going to get to the playoffs and like, oh, thank God, we don't have to deal with those guys anymore. these are the same problems that you're eventually going to have to sort out in the playoffs. It's this thing. It used to actually drive me nuts because when Frank Vogel was the head coach, he used to start like Rajon Rondo and Avery Bradley, and those guys would like get these touches over the course of the game that I just kept on wondering like what is the point of all of this. And then eventually you get into the playoffs. Now Avery Bradley didn't wind up playing in the bubble, he sat out, but Rondo famously, right, playoff Rondo became a thing. And after the season and after that playoff run, you know, Frank Vogel talked about how like, yes, there were empty possessions over the course of the season that went to Rondo, or there were minutes that we didn't necessarily optimize at the beginnings of games. That team was good enough somehow to start two guys in that ilk, right? They used to start Rondo and they used to start JaVale McGee, and then they would go to their like closing five, and it would be Caruso and AD moving over to the five, and like that's when they would really hit their stride. And basically like what Vogel made the decision to do was like, yeah, we could optimize, we could spam that lineup all season long and our net rating would look that much better. But at the end of the day, we also had to involve these other guys to get us to that point, and they're going to play a role in the playoffs. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say, you know, potentially sacrificing a win here and there for the sake of playoff preparation. And now it's a lot easier to do with a team that would eventually win the championship and was significantly more talented than this collection of Lakers are. But that approach, I do think, like, you know, the smart teams do tend to use these 82 game regular seasons for a testing or as a testing ground so that they can see which pitches they can eventually throw. And that's, you know, I think that's something that JJ Redick is still kind of learning so early in the process of becoming an NBA head coach, is that balance of spamming the things that you are good at, but also figuring out what else you might be good at. And that's where the Lakers kind of find themselves. Do you agree with the premise there, or do you think is it too much of an apples to oranges comparison because of the caliber of the two rosters?
I mean, the caliber of the two rosters for sure is definitely a factor. Just the caliber of the West. I think we always talk about like how much better the West is compared to the East. Like that's like a yearly talking point. I think that OKC is obviously playing a different sport right now. But outside of that, like the West, like I feel like the West, I'll actually go back. I feel like it's more jumbled 2-6 this year, or maybe like even like 2-7 compared to like you're talking about 2019, 2020. Like maybe like the Lakers had, they were what, 52-13, I want to say, or maybe 52. I forget the exact record. Like it was more even 1 through 8, but yeah, it wasn't as jumbled, like so much to the point where like, oh yeah, if you lose 2 games, you're going from 2 to 8, like it was last season.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also the quality of the roster. Like, again, talking point that hasn't been talked about as much this season as compared to last season, but still, it's true. Like, they don't have big margins. Like, the other thing that was weird about yesterday's game is that they just, like, they got smoked on the free throw line in terms of the Spurs took so many more. Like, that's a mark. That's the true, that's the one true margin the Lakers could rely on a night-to-night basis. If they're not getting to the free throw line like a lot more than the other team, they're losing the turnover battle. They're more than likely going to lose the offensive rebounding battle. They're going to lose in terms of like the pure shot attempts battle just because they're going to get to the line more. And that's the other thing. Like, and then roster construction matters. Like, who's creating these margins outside of the free throws? Like, who's crashing the offensive glass? Who's creating turnovers? They don't – like, who's doing these things? That's the advantage that that 2019-20 Lakers team had. They just created margins better compared to this year's team. So that's also like part of it in terms of, I agree with you. Like, it would be nice if, I mean, they kind of did it on the road trip. Like, hey, Adu, you're going to be an important part of the rotation for this stretch. Show us what you can do. And he played, what, I think like 35, 34 minutes over the road trip. Like, not insignificant. Obviously, well, you need more. Yeah, it would be nice to be like, hey, Vando, you're going to have a 10-game stretch of being in the rotation. Let's see what you can do. And that will determine what you do. Or maybe not 10, 5-game stretch of being in the rotation. Here's your opportunity to show something. But, I mean, in defense of JJ, Vando was in the rotation for 14 games to start the season. How did you feel about it? I'm being genuine. Like, how did you feel about those 14 games?
I mean, it wasn't good. You know, I think part of it is it wasn't good in part because of design. Like, Vando was never going to have the impact on this Lakers defense that he could because of the amount of switching that they do. It's like, if you're the opposing team and Vando is starting a possession on your best player and you know that the Lakers are just going to switch everything, you set one screen and you go tell whoever screened Vando to go stand in the corner. Now all of a sudden Vando's guarding the corner guy. And like, I think that hurt Vando's impact on the team. And then on top of that, I still don't think the Lakers have quite figured out what to do with Vando offensively. I don't think there is a good answer to what to do with Vando offensively, but I definitely don't think I would stick him in the corner in the way that the Lakers have tended to. So yeah, it wasn't good. And I can understand why JJ eventually arrived at the conclusion that, like, sorry, man, learn to shoot and come back to me in December or whatever. I don't blame him necessarily for that takeaway, but I do think it's really hurt the Lakers collectively in terms of the athleticism and physicality that they present. He's their best athlete and he is not a part of the rotation anymore. And now they're, you know, the best athlete who has had a chance in the rotation is Adu Thiro. He's a rookie that JJ just isn't going to trust very much. So your best athlete then becomes LeBron again, 41-year-old LeBron. That seems suboptimal.
Yeah, I was going to say either LeBron or Jackson, depending on how you value athleticism, but or what you look for. But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, your two best athletes are arguably just not in the rotation. And that, yeah, and it's not that, like, to me, it's not that I understand why not. I can see it. Like, you said what you said about Vando. Adu's a rookie. Like, I would, it would be nice to be able to get them more involved. I do also feel like we're getting to a point where one of them should be in the rotation. They should be playing more minutes just because you can't be so imbalanced. And it can't be night to night where you're relying so heavily on your offense. Like,
you have to score 130 or else.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, granted, yeah, they scored what last night? 119. And I know some of that's wonky just because they were down. Like, I think the box score made the game look closer than it actually was.
Yeah.
But still, like, night to night.
Fake comeback, right? So.
I don't know if it was kind of fake. Yeah. It was fakeish. Faux. Faux. It's like,
it was
like
a good fake Louis Vuitton bag. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look.
Yeah.
I think there was something to there were some interesting things to take away from that. But
the small ball, it was an interesting look. Like, that's something I bet JJ will like take away from that game. Is like, huh, that was interesting. Yeah. Let's really quickly, before we get you out of here, discuss the trades aspect of the Lakers options here. And, you know, we have to address the fact that, like, the headlines coming out of Milwaukee have been objectively hilarious, right? Like, did you see Kuz the other day, who was like, you know, he was asked, hey, Giannis, I guess, sat you guys down and talked to you guys about the outside news. Kuz was like, he did? I must have missed that one.
Maybe he did miss it. Yeah. Actually, that'd be the funnier story if he just wasn't like, he was like, wait, we had this meeting that I wasn't part of.
I feel bad for like Chris Haynes is doing good work. Like, if Giannis tells you something specifically, you have to report it. You know, it's not like you can just be like, yeah, Giannis sent me this. He's lying, but like, here's what he said. But at the end of the day, like the Giannis stuff clearly isn't going anywhere. And so long as that stuff isn't going anywhere, and so long as the Lakers feel like they have a chance at Giannis, either this season and definitely heading into this offseason, the Lakers aren't going to sacrifice any chance that they might have at Giannis for the sake of Herb Jones or something like that. Sorry, Herb. But like, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in, because I actually do think this team is good enough with a more sensible starter, fifth starter. Like, I actually think they could be pretty good with a better fifth starter, and they could challenge Denver and maybe OKC, depending on who that fifth starter would be. But also, it's like, is maybe challenging Denver and maybe challenging OKC worth giving up the chance at Giannis this upcoming offseason? How do you see them balancing all that out? Here's your grenade.
No, I mean, I was at this show, and I think we kind of agreed on this. And I still feel the same way. Like, I was said this out loud to other people, and they said I was like, they were like, that's kind of crazy to say that. But I was like, all right, so I'll tame it down. This could be, before I say more definitively, this could be one of the best chances the Lakers have at winning the championship roster wise.
100%. I'm right there with you.
Like, for the foreseeable future. Like, I know LeBron, like, and that, when I said this over the summer when, you know, LeBron coming off all NBA second team, it was clear that Austin was ascending. He's honestly, like, ascending even more than, like, his trajectory is ridiculous. We knew that, like, this is post Luka Men's Health Magazine, so we saw he was in shape. And even, like, Eurobasket around that time. Like, it wouldn't surprise me just because, like, if LeBron, assuming LeBron return, like, gets closer to form, I actually thought LeBron, like, looked better. Like, I think he's starting to stack games, like, between last night and the Philly game. It seems like he's starting to at least offensively find a rhythm. I think defensively he still has a ways to go. It wouldn't shock me if this is, like, their best chance, at least within the next few years, or next couple of years, with Luka leading the way and Austin leading the way, of, like, actually contending for a championship. Like, truly closing the gap between them and OKC, right? And in the, obviously, like, Houston's part of that, Denver, whatever, but, like, really being the closest to OKC. So I'm still the mind of, like, they should go for it, just from that standpoint. Like, I'm hearing you on Giannis. Luka being a Laker is, like, incredible. It's also that trade is one of the worst things that ever happened to, like, sports writers, because I can't just, like, rule anything out.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't say, like, there's no
chance. What do you mean the Lakers can't just trade expiring contracts and one first round pick for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't just say, like, it's like a, so it's like a 3 to 5 year, like, we have to go like 3 to 5 years before we can like say like sensible things on podcasts, because yeah. when nonsensible trades are made, then it's just like, well, that ruins like actual sense.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's the exact opposite, like the other end of the spectrum of the post Rudy Gobert trade, where like after the Rudy trade, everybody was like, wait, so if Rudy costs 8 first round picks, does that mean like X rotation player here who doesn't have the playoff questions would cost 13, you know? And yeah. like, you know, like with coming off the Luka trade, it's like, wait, if that's all Luka costs, can the Lakers get Giannis for like Maxi, Gabe, and Vando in like a second round swap? Like, it's just,
but then you have trades like the Desmond. I was going to say, then you have trades like the Desmond Bane trade that kind of like swings the pendulum back in,
yeah.
back to where it should be. But no, I mean, to me, like the Giannis stuff is a summertime thing. I understand if you're a fan or you have to, like, until it's resolved, like, you have to, it's, the responsible thing is to stay on it, because you never, like, you truly never know. Like, Giannis may be like, you know what, forget about New York. Like, I just want to play for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And that right. changes everything. But you can't, like, we're in Luka's prime.
Mm-hmm.
This is Luka's prime. Now, and to the, at least for the next couple of few years, are going to be the best basketball he plays. To me, you have to maximize every single season, or you should maximize every single season within reason, while you're in his prime. Just yeah. because, again, this season, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just one of the, maybe not the absolute best, but one of the best opportunities they have to compete for a championship with, you know, Luka, Austin. Some of this context of, like, they're going to get more expensive. Austin's going to get a pay raise of at least, let's just say, $25 million. Minimum.
At least.
Minimum. At least.
Yeah.
That's being, again, bare minimum. Yes, your books will clear, but you still, like, there's I think team building, roster building is just going to become a little bit more challenging for them.
Yeah, so. Ayton's going to get a raise. Smart is going to get a raise. Hayes might even be in line for a raise, you know, given the way that he's played as a backup. I mean, maybe LeBron makes a little bit less, but he clearly isn't thrilled about that idea. We saw how the offseason played out when the Lakers didn't want to give him the current, like, didn't want to extend his current contract. This might be the hottest take I've given so far this season, so apologies. I hope Giannis gets traded somewhere else ASAP, just so that the Lakers can ditch this pursuit.
Oh,
like, wow. I would rather him say, I only want to go to the New York Knicks. I guess I saw somebody tweeted out, like, a multifamily facility that he basically bought in New York.
Oh yeah.
Just do it. Just trade him to New York. Get this over with so that the Lakers can get back to building around. I agree with you completely. Building around this opportunity that they have right now. And
sure.
And look, I understand Giannis is a top three player in the world right now. He is legitimately one of the best small slash power forwards I have ever seen. I totally understand why the Lakers would halt any and all team building operations while they wait this out. But we've seen with Golden State what happens when you wait for Giannis way too long. And I just don't want to get on that. I've watched that ride from afar. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to like Six Flags, but I remember when they put in that like Goliath ride. I'm not really a big roller coaster guy. I remember like looking at the you know, when it was going up on, and I saw it like people riding it and stuff. I'm like, that doesn't look fun at all. Like, that looks terrible. And that's how I feel like the watching Warriors fans like get up and get down and get all kinds of turned around for you know, this notion of trading for Giannis one day somehow. And it's just I'm good. Focus on what you got right now and see what you can maximize.
Yeah, focus on what you have right now. And you have an MVP caliber player in Luka Doncic. You have a player in all three who's playing at all NBA level. Not all-star, all NBA level. Then you have LeBron James.
Yeah.
As he's trying to get acclimated. I mean, this is a team that to me is worth like maximizing.
Yeah.
Because if you do, if you find a fit starter, I mean, whoever that may be that fits the roster better, you'd be talking about the four main starters, the fifth starter with Rui and Mark, ideally with Rui and Marcus and a big man off the bench. Like that to me is a real, like that's a real contending, a potential contending team.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I was, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if I'm maybe to ruffle too many feathers with that. That's maybe like a bridge too far than what I was going to say. But yeah, we're in alignment.
Yeah.
We're in alignment with that. Like, so, okay. Hey. So Sam Presti pick up the phone, trade for Giannis.
Give him just Thunder. Get it done. Yeah. Like Spurs, and, you know, although I was watching them last night and I was like watching those three guards play together, Fox and Harper and Castle. And then the notion of them with Wemby. I'm like, I kind of hope they ruin this for Giannis. Like, I hope they do split up this trio of giant, physical, crazy athletic guards. Like, please go trade for Giannis and, you know, make sure that OKC doesn't get him. And I would really prefer he not go to the Western Conference, but still, like, I just think like the Spurs future is insane. And obviously OKC's already reached their future. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think the Lakers' path here is through similar kind of a more balanced approach than Luka and Giannis and the Pips. All right, man, this has been a fun as always. I'm going to get out of the way and let you plug whatever it is that you would like to plug. You can check out Kobe's work, obviously, at the OC Register and for the Southern California News Group. But anything specifically that you would like to let the audience know about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just my written work with the OC Register, SoCal News Group, just doing the videos with Bleacher Report. Should have, if it's not already out while we were speaking, it'll be out later today. Just download the Bleacher Report app, go to the Lakers page, you'll see me. And yeah, those are the main things right now. Looking forward to, hey, it's going to be, they have one game over the next week. If you can't tell by my voice or maybe my face.
I think it's like, for your eyes. Like, he's like, man. Get some rest, man.
I can't. This is going to be good for just my health. So this is going to be a good week for my health. Mind, body, spirit.
Well, dude, thank you very much for hopping on. I really appreciate having a guy named Kobe in the Lakers lounge. It really helps out. And yeah, best of luck on the rest of the season. We'll bring you back here sometime soon. And we'll see who can outdo the other on their Giannis hatred. Cause that's, I know I'm about to get that as a result of your takes and my takes on that note.
Hey, maximize the roster. That's my suggestion.
Yeah. All right, man. Have a good one, everybody. That is going to do it for this week's. So I don't know if you guys saw, but on the LFR's playback last night, Pete said that he has some family stuff going on. He and I are not going to be able to record our episode of The Hook tomorrow. Thoughts and prayers and love out to Pete and his family while they deal with what they are dealing with. And yeah, be safe over the weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday.